Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us. Over here is CJ Gibson.
How's it going, everybody?
Over here is Fran Mirabella.
I'm over here. What's up, Guardians?
He's on my left.
That's right.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Glad we always make that clear.
People like that. People are like, it cracks me up every time.
It's true. If you're listening, though, you don't know where people are sitting.
You have no idea what's happening. So today we are going to be talking about a few things. Right off the top of the show, I do want to say we will be off next week. It is Thanksgiving weekend, so we're taking a break. And we're actually going to be talking about break times in Destiny. It's kind of one of those moments where there's a big lull. So, what are you going to do to fill the gap?
Like a LOL, LULZ? Or like a...
Something like that. We're going to talk about the roadmap for Destiny, what we have to look forward to, and we are going to take a call from a fan, and we're going to talk about Trials again because, hey, it was in the weekly update. Apparently, this is a big topic in the community
Perfect.
Right now.
Right up my alley.
That's great.
I like talking about Trials. Even if only 18% of the people out there actually, like, go to the lighthouse and are able to get that far, but... So that was some old number around that. I always quote it, but
so worked. let's open up with that taking a break thing. This is something often encouraged by Bungie and Destiny fans, and the
they encourage you to stop playing the game.
They encourage you, like, hey, if you're feeling burnt out, don't just force yourself. Just play other stuff. It's fine,
right?
Like, but you're not going to hurt our feelings.
I'm joking, but they're responding to. There's a lot of commentary of like, give me more stuff, and you know, why isn't there more stuff? And you suck, Bungie.
It's like, right? Because you devoured a 200-hour DLC.
I think they're addressing the hey, like, you know, if you play a lot of it, you don't have to play it every week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they want you to, but like, if you've done everything, I mean, that's just how it works, right?
Yeah.
And there's still bounties and stuff to keep you going. But I mean, is everybody at 400? I am still not.
I'm 400, all three.
Wow, okay, yeah.
CJ's.
Not on Xbox, though, sorry.
There you go. So you have some work to put in, Destin.
Nah. No, thank you.
I think the Xbox character is just going to fade away, unfortunately.
Distant memory.
Yeah. I can't do two platforms.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
So what do you guys think you're going to do during the downtime? We do have some stuff coming up. PSX is around the corner. They could potentially be there. CJ, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep playing?
I mean, always. Trials is, again, my love affair with Destiny.
You love Trials.
I love Trials, again, for the competition alone, just for what it is. But yeah, I definitely don't have the urge to log on every day and play it like I did. You know, didn't do challenge, didn't do a couple other things. So
yeah. Fran?
I mean, playing it every day was already – that's already too much for me anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, with fresh content like we've seen, and I have this commentary a lot on the show, I last a good – you know, I'm really into it for 30, 45 days. Yeah. That's where I always – that's really, honestly, the amount of content and the pace that they've been able to hit. 30, 45 days, right? I'm pretty much like starting to dwindle.
Yep.
But Iron Banner, you know, has done a good job of
getting
me to where I want to be, getting weapons I want to be in. Frickin' A, I wanted a clever dragon with high caliber rounds and counter bounce and perfect balance, but I did not get it. I didn't even get anything with high caliber rounds, but I do enjoy that. I enjoy Iron Banner. But, like, yeah, now that all that's passed, I'm definitely in the, you know, I still want to play Trials. I love playing Trials every weekend. But it's become, yeah, like a basic schedule. So, in other words, the short answer is I will always be playing Destiny every week in some capacity, whether it's for, you know, 3 hours or 2 hours or 10 when Banner comes around. Mm-hmm. But comparatively to when stuff comes out, I'm not going to be playing it for those, like, 20, 30 hours yeah. a week, which is kind of crazy to put it in those terms. Like, right, we're obviously super fans and super players, I should say. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of crazy when you talk about a game that within a month, you know, you're sinking sometimes, like, 60, 80 hours.
Oh, yeah, man.
So that's, like, an entire experience.
Well, I, like, didn't sleep that first week.
Yeah.
So first week? So, like, you know, you're, like, 3 weeks almost.
Yeah. You get a lot out of it. Hours-wise, how much you enjoy each of those hours is up for debate, obviously.
Well, for me, you know, I'll pop my head back in. If there's an event that I'm interested in, or, like, if somebody finds a new exotic, there's a lot of rumors right now about a hidden exotic that people are looking for. And, like, you know, when Sparrow Racing League pops around, I'll be like, hey, how's it going? Is any good? Oh, good. The community hates it? Oh, okay. All right, they hate everything about it? All right. Just thought I'd see what that was all about. Thanks, guys.
We're actually going to be talking about
that. Yeah, yeah. Right? We'll talk about that a little bit in the roadmap coming up, but for me, we're in game of the year consideration time. So, like, I need to.
You heard it here first. Destin's vote. Yeah, Destiny Rise by. I'm surprised. Given
no,
the commentary.
No.
But wow, I mean, he got to put himself out there,
right.
Everybody. So.
Yep.
Locked. Rise of Iron is not getting a vote. Two games are contenders for me right now.
Oh, yeah?
But I have a few more to catch up on.
Yeah, I'm catching up.
For me, it's like XCOM 2, I really loved.
Really?
And, wow. Overwatch, what it did for the competitive FPS genre, I think it deserves consideration.
And just as, like, a blend, you know, that multi-character.
I haven't finished Uncharted 4, and everybody's giving me a hard Woo. Time for that. But
game was so
far.
Good.
Yeah, I'm about
definitely
70%
contender.
Through Uncharted 4.
See,
and
I was
then,
playing it, and I had to take a break, so I borrowed the disc to CJ, and I just never got it back, so I bought it last
All
night.
All right. Oh, did
yeah.
you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was about to return it. You should have told me.
Yeah.
I played Titanfall 2 last night and beat it, actually. It's really good, the campaign side of it. It's really good.
I hope Titanfall 2 gets some accolades.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
I don't
yeah.
think
well
it'll
done,
get a game
campaign.
Of the year from anybody. I mean, it could, but... There's
I got shooter of the
some
year.
Very big. Oh yeah,
Battlefield 1's a contender though in that category. Which
very
is
very good shooters this year. I mean, Destiny is a great competitor for that this year as well.
It is. Well, yeah, but
even
all,
though it hasn't changed a lot, it's still
was
one of the best
maps.
Okay,
really, so
but it's not necessarily what you added. It's if you have never played before,
it's
you come
game
in
of the
you
year
buy Rise of Iron.
Though.
Yes, but if you come in, you buy Rise of Iron
with
the
our
collection.
So this
and
is
never
just an IGN process thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in the running rule-wise
sure
for IGN's Shooter of the Year, is it?
Oh, yeah, sure it is. I just don't – it may not be nominated. But meaning, like, right, Rise of Iron Collection, it's a new SKU. If you've never played it before, right, it's a brand new SKU.
Mm-hmm.
So that collection is certainly up for it. So.
Oh, okay.
But my point was,
sure.
if you look across Call of Duty, Titanfall 2, I mean, there's a reason that we all love playing it in Trials. It's a great shooter.
Yeah.
But campaign-wise, yeah, I think it's a struggle.
I mean, I will say this about just in general with Destiny. For all the other games who create DLC, it's crazy that not only does Destiny create PvP and PvE stuff, we kind of rage and, you know, come down on it pretty hard when a lot of other games just do PvP maps
right.
yeah.
and a
yeah.
game mode. And when that's all that's expected, it's crazy that Bungie kind of does all this stuff. And again, not defending... But there's a lot of content that they do give us, and we plow through it.
Let's
like,
actually,
yeah, yes
know?
And no, yes and no. Though.
I mean,
it's a very
context,
grindy experience in a lot
it
of
is,
ways. Like,
but
right,
there's,
camp,
but there's yeah. there's a lot of material there, and we feel the need to grind through
yes,
it.
Yes, but how
quickly.
Much do you enjoy each minute and hour? Kind of like I was referencing, right? You have to measure it on that. You know,
about,
that's my point. Some games are only 7-8 hours, and you're like, wow, I loved it.
Yeah,
you know, you can't measure it based on hours. Was my only point.
Yeah,
but I mean, from a value standpoint, a little maybe VPH or something. The amount that you play,
that I get, I totally get
the amount. Yeah, the amount like, that you actually play and the amount that you invest, like dollar wise, that's absurd.
Sure.
I can't think of
yeah,
another game.
It's like you spent $120 on Destiny by the time you played all the DLC. Yeah, and I played for 1,200 hours.
Yeah, we could track.
And
it.
It's like okay versus Uncharted 4, which I played for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I
well,
paid 60.
Multiplayer, but yeah, obviously.
No, but like I'm just saying, if you're talking from a value perspective, yeah. it's understandable why yeah. it's like per dollar, you get many, many hours if you liked Destiny
you do.
Of gameplay. That's all CJ's saying.
Yeah, and it's rare
and
that another first-person shooter does that. I mean, think of another game that gives you There's only been a few that I can think of that, besides PvP maps, give you potentially other modes to do within the game.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, that is its unique quality. I mean, obviously Borderlands had a ton of that going on. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's unique. And I think that's why the community likes it. There are other things to do, you know, the worlds to explore, so to speak.
Like, even today, if people ask me, like, what's one game I need to get on your PS4, I'm like, well, Destiny. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to enjoy it, most likely, if you're into bungee shooters.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot there for you to enjoy. There's a lot to chase after. I mean, it's definitely a game for certain types of people. But anyway, let's move on to some of the stuff that's down the road before we go too deep into that rabbit hole. First of all, I guess let's talk about the trials notes and then talk about what's coming in the future. Or do you want to do
– I feel like we should recap. Not you. We're here as a we.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, we should probably recap the big, like, discussion of how do they matchmake in
–
because I think that segues nicely into trials. What do you think?
Yep. So they matchmake basically four trials just based on connection and what do they say here? So
you jumped right to trials,
which is good.
Yeah, they say skill is not a factor
in Trials of Osiris. Mm-hmm. You are matched against players with good connections and similar scorecards.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Why there's no rhyme or reason to any of it.
That is why you get matched up with the top 10 person in the world, because there is no consideration for that.
Yeah,
which I actually did not know. You know, because they've changed things over the years and what. But I thought there was a little bit of consideration for your Elo, which is, I don't know. It's weird because I was known that if I was the host and the one doing the matchmaking, I would always get the sweaties. But of course, I'm on the West Coast.
Because you're in California.
Yeah, and I'm playing with people like in the Midwest and East Coast. But it was interesting. But I always thought there was something going on with like my profile that I always got put in some tier. But actually, the connections are. I'm literally all around me are these people who are excellent.
Yeah.
And
that's because you're a host and those are going to be your best connections. Now, meanwhile, you let somebody be a host in the UK where it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, not a lot of people are going to be awake in the UK. So those are the matches you're going to get.
Well, it's going to prioritize their connection, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? And so, they'll get matched up with all over Europe.
I don't know how to fix it, but it was an interesting follow up to our trials conversation.
Suggesting it's broken.
I don't like it. I think it should be based on skill.
I wasn't on those episodes. I was a little prelude to it, but I heard you really laid into them on terms of you want skill-based matchmaking.
Yep.
You know.
And I think the community at large, there's a big skill-based matchmaking controversy going on within the community right now where people are like, are you kidding me? You don't do skill-based?
Yeah.
Like, what do you – you don't even consider it? It's just throw whoever into a match. Good luck.
Right. But, the
card – a lot of people don't like that. Some people like it, though.
Yeah. Interestingly, the card makes it skill-based, right? The higher – that's why. You know, the higher you get in your card, the sweatier it's going to get. There aren't going to be – all the good people are going to knock out the people who suck.
Yeah.
But then also from a taking advantage and a cheating standpoint. Like, when it's skill-based, that's what people do. Mm-hmm. People cheat and want a competitive advantage. And that's the issue. I mean, people want connection-based for that reason.
CJ?
No. Not me. But that's the thing. Like, that's what happens, right?
So. By the way, if you've been cheating in trials, hope you don't like your console because you are locked out of it. They're doing console locks now. So don't cheat.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's not – for come on. It's stupid.
Yeah,
don't
it really
spam.
Is stupid. Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
spam. Don't lag. Like, if you get busted, you just throw your console in the garbage.
That's in – that's in Microsoft's and PlayStation's terms of services and stuff. So
yeah, they're not
they're
messing around.
To do that, yeah. And which I think is great.
That's awesome. And Bungie's been notoriously good at doing the ban hammer.
They don't mess around.
Years,
if
so
you're cheating,
awesome.
You don't deserve to play.
Yeah, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wrecks it for everybody else. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, so but, how do you guys feel about it? Fran, you don't seem – you seem pretty indifferent.
I'm not indifferent. I just I definitely can appreciate, and there's certainly a top tier group of people who really enjoy how the elitism of it, of trials, and how competitive it is. And you'd hate to lose that, right? So I can absolutely, sympathize with that. However, as I've often said, yes, I think it could use some tweaks. Like, I like what they did with the bounties, the fact that you have a chance to kind of get your seven.
I like that,
And really, that's most of the reward out of trials from an actual loot perspective. You get most of what, you can from there. Obviously, the lighthouse has a great drop with the chest. But, it's not an absolute necessity. But my point is, you don't have to be amazing to get to 5-7. You just got to try.
At some point, when your flawless victories get to 50 or something, you should be put in a different tier. You know, if during this year you have had 50 flawless runs, you should be in a different tier than people who haven't had 50 flawless runs.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like thin the herd a little bit,
But as
like,
we'll
let them have one.
Okay, but as we'll get into talking about the matchmaking and the things that go into it, it is complex. And like you're suggesting that you'll wait, you know, in line for a better skill match or whatever it is. But like if you're just not getting matches, like that, you really might hate that experience.
Yeah, that's true. And the player base could be lower now.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah. I think that's the issue. It's like they even talk about how they prioritize for the regular stuff. And that's it. The game right now is popular.
Yeah.
When the game becomes less popular, how often are you waiting for matches?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you kind of want elimination with some rewards in it. But maybe leave Trials of Osiris for, like, the elitism. You know what I mean? Like, meaning you're almost discussing where, like – because it's true. Meaning there are both voices out there. There's the people who are really good, and so they have no concerns, or they have good teams already. But there's a lot of people who would love to enjoy the mode, and it's just brutal.
But the
there's
mode,
nothing in between.
But the mode is there in the context of the game being able to play. Elimination. Mm-hmm. You can play that non-competitive.
Yeah, but you don't really get rewards.
No, you don't get the rewards. So it's a process of that along with the fact that it's like a time thing and only on the weekend. And, I mean, that's the appeal. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, I like too. It's like you never realize how much you like to do something until they take it away. And they do that.
Exactly.
Sparrow Racing.
It
and
could ruin
things,
the preciousness of it. Yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing with that. But I do think there's something in between, you know. Like, I guess I would put it simply, like, unless I'm playing with people who are really great and it's hard to put that team together, I kind of don't want to play Trials where I wish there just was something in there. I mean, I wouldn't do this, but as an example, if it had a difficulty setting, just like a game has, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe meaning you can choose to do something that gets you into kind of a zone that you can play a card without it being brutal.
Friend's favorite part of Trials is spectator mode.
Yeah.
Because that's the vision.
Hey,
in.
I will say this.
Dude, my call-ups.
Your call-ups. And I've watched you play. Again, let's talk about the hunter thing real quick. Yeah, you're playing as a hunter, and the gameplay that I've seen has been, nothing against warlocks.
Knocked up a little bit.
But yeah, it's been good. And and again, same thing. I think that's what Trials does. There's a stake on the line. You feel the pressure. You don't necessarily play better.
No, you do. You actually do. Like, when I play in lower tier, actually, when I go back to my regular just, like, Rumble, which is doing, some skill-based and stuff, I'm, like, crushing people most of the time. Not always, but I'll be getting, like, 2-plus KDs where I'm like, all right, this feels good
but
now.
But that's because
I used to not be that
there's
way.
Less adrenaline in a casual matchmake, so you're playing
you're
better.
You're so tuned up now.
Yeah. So
but,
like,
but that is, again, playing those hard matches and being in those environments and situations.
And then you go to relaxed mode, you're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're nuking everybody.
But anyway, sorry to retread all. You guys have talked about that a lot, apparently.
Yeah, so that's all we wanted to talk about. Let's move on to the overall roadmap of Destiny.
We going to go over the how they do connection-based matchmaking and all of that, the rundown, or no?
I mean,
they just outlined it very nicely for the Crucible.
We already said that... matches are based on your connection, and then for regular Crucible, it is based on your skill set and connection.
It's a mix. Sorry, I thought you were going to present that. Apologies, I thought it was on our rundown. They listed like the five things in order of importance.
The Trials.
So check it out
regular.
In the update.
It's
for
three.
Regular
provide you with
Crucible.
A clean connection to your fellow players. Keep the time you spend in orbit between matches to a minimum, and set a match between you and a worthy opponent. That's matchmaking, that's their design goals.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
How do they go about finding it? First, we identify a pool of players. This is for general matchmaking, not Trials of Osiris. Mm-hmm. Trials of Osiris is just good player, good connections, similar scorecards. That's it. That's all they do for Trials. For regular,
Crucible, which people talk about a lot.
They identify a pool of available players with a good connection.
That's the first thing they try. Connection is the number one priority.
Yeah. Within the pool, we choose players closely matched to your personal skill rating. If we can't find players within that pool, we widen the variance in skill.
So connection is still a priority at that point, right? That's what it's doing.
Connection,
skill, open up skill,
Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, we expand the search again with more variance in connection quality.
Now they look into dropping connection quality.
Step five is once enough players are selected, we break them out into equally skilled teams.
And so, it's like whatever marbles you ended up with in that bag, after you widen all that out, have the 12 people or the six or whatever, then they just try to even it out. Mm-hmm. Now that, like, I wonder how they do look at skill within that, you know, and balance stuff out.
Yeah, well, to summarize, connection quality is always the highest priority factor in Destiny matchmaking. It is the first criteria for the search and the last value we're willing to compromise to set the match.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what's, you know, you got to read between the lines here. Everyone is telling them they're kind of getting pissed off with the matchmaking and, like, mm-hmm. they're like, all right, let's explain to you exactly what our priorities are. And they're basically saying it's not as easy, right, as it seems. You know, they got millions of connections that they have to prioritize. And also the speed. Also, you don't want to get freaking disconnected in that process.
And the internet is random.
A lot of stuff, yeah. And they talk in here. You can see, you know, they talk about Wi-Fi and its susceptibility to issues and all. Yeah. They get into lag. And they also did address, I thought it was important, is they, you know, there's commentary that like, oh, they're trying to make it so you win 50-50. And they're like, that we definitely don't do that. You're making yeah. that up. So I thought, you know, they did a really nice rundown on it. This is the type of stuff you need to do a little sooner. You know, like, get ahead of – like, why not share this? It's not like a programming dump of code that, like, other people are going to copy. You know, like, what's the concern? Even though, yes.
We're sharing that with the community.
The community is going to overanalyze all these pieces and tell you, well, you should do the third thing first and then you should – but, like, look at the other side of it, which is I don't know what you're prioritizing and now I'm just mad. Mm-hmm. You're going to be mad either way. My point is, just might as well put it out there sooner, yeah. right? This has been a recurring issue. Just tell us how this stuff works sooner.
Matchmaking's never really bothered me. It's just for trials is the only mode that I ever cared about. So general matchmaking, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the connection and lag, and I think that's where, well, you should be hearing. The good news is they really are trying as best as they can. It's still on a timer, obviously, and that's what's interesting is there's only so much time to get a good connection. They're not going to leave you there to absolutely get an amazing connection, right? Yeah. At some point, you know, they just
That's how it feels sometimes, but
yeah. yeah. Well, continue. But like, think about it, if they perfected connections. I mean, you could be sitting there forever and like that's the downside and also to the point we were making about lag and stuff, like people's connections vary.
Yeah,
so they're testing people and the next thing you know, yeah, like I've even had it happen. They're like, "Dude, you're lagging." I'm like, "What?" You know, like I have awesome internet. It's pretty hard. You know, it's hard to make it a perfect experience.
But definitely. Ultimately, dedicated servers. Like we had this, this conversation before.
Nice.
And, you know, for what they're doing, again, there's some obviously secret sauce under the hood with DTR and skill rating and all that that's factored in. But dedicated servers, when you know that that's a possibility and this is one of those games where people want it because it's super competitive, that needs to happen. Like
maybe,
100%.
Maybe for Destiny 2. The roadmap to get to Destiny 2 is the winter event. Yeah. The winter event, which is coming this winter at some point. We know we're going to get Sparrow Racing and some winter event. We don't really know what that is. Beyond that, we don't really know much else.
Snow in the tower.
Snow in the tower. Spoilers. we don't actually know.
Just making it up.
But we know in 2017, we're assuming late 2017, Destiny 2 is on the way. And so rumors are that it's going to come to PC. We believe it'll follow Osiris. At one point, there was a Shattered Suns rumor. There was like a world with the words Shattered Suns on it. It was very fake.
Yeah, I don't believe it'll follow Osiris necessarily. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, but we actually had a call about this question from a blockmate, and I'm going to use our very technical setup of this laptop with the memory card plugged into it to play back the audio really quick. And well, here's a question actually about a Destiny sequel. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on the possibilities of Destiny 2 having some sort of a subscription model. You know, it could be an optional subscription that people could pay monthly. And for that fee, you get access to lots of regular content from a raid perspective, strikes perspective. And additionally, you know, you may get some in-game currency, silver, whatever it is for Destiny 2. Elder Scrolls Online did something similar that I thought worked quite well, but it wasn't compulsory to play the game. It was still, anyone could play it. But obviously the more hardcore would pay the fee and get the more regular content, as part of that. Would like to just hear your thoughts on that. Keep up the great work as always. Cheers.
Guardian out.
Interesting thought.
What was this gentleman's name again?
He had written in was Blockmate.
All right, Blockmate.
Yeah.
I got some thoughts.
So, Fran, go ahead.
Sounds like they're really evil thoughts. They're not. No, my first reaction is, it just to confirm, it sounds like he's suggesting maybe the free-to-play or something. Like, that's where I'm lost.
You can play for free, but you can also pay for a subscription, and you'll get,
maybe
free glimmer, you'll get free emotes.
My head exploded with, like, I just don't want to be, for this game, which is already confusing enough, I don't need another layer of free people get this, and I actually don't think that will do any favors to expand the audience.
Yeah.
I think you got to sell the game for $60 or whatever, and it's a full-fledged game, and you get access to everything. And yeah, like, you pick up your extra revenue with your silver and do it right and keep it vanity or whatever. Or I do think, sure, there's an option for a subscription, right? 12 months, $5, $60, same thing for a year. I would accept either as long as those content updates are annual. And so basically, right, it's like either or. You have the chance to come in, play the game. If you're only there for 6 months, you actually get a deal. You know, on the other side of it, you have to pay the $60 and you're just all in. I mean, I guess my point is, I don't want to see some weird subscription thing where, like, right, there's these different perks and releases. I think it's just very confusing for a game like this.
Unless Destiny 2 is the best thing I've ever played in my life, do not do a subscription model, because, like, it'll just tear the community apart. The existing community, like, you can get behind Destiny because it's just, you spend your $60 on, like, say, Destiny the Collection, right? You get all that DLC, you can play through all the content, and just enjoy it. And you can choose to buy the DLC or not if you want to advance. It has been clunky for them, though. I do not like the idea of a subscription model one bit. I think it would be very bad for the brand.
I think potentially you've basically paid a subscription model. I mean, you might be getting a break because, yeah, like, now you're into the $30 release for year three.
Yeah.
That's the only difference, though, when you think about it.
So I paid $60 for Core Destiny, right?
And another $30 for
And then you pay for the DLCs as they come when you're ready to access them. But if I have to pay that every month and I'm not getting a monthly update that's worth my $15, it's like I'm just paying help keep the servers
but
on.
But what basically. If it was $4.99 is what I was saying. You know,
it's
the same difference.
I don't like the idea of a subscription model.
I do think it's confusing.
Not for a console product.
Yeah. I think that's the key right there. Not for a console. A lot of these models that I think people talk about doing is like, I mean, games are increasingly going more digital, but like in other platforms like iOS and iPad and all that stuff, it makes a little more sense for a game like this and a console game. Like, has there been a subscription free-to-play model on console that's been super successful? Can you guys think of one?
Well, so Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, actually.
Actually, is the
first
only,
person shooter?
No, it's the only one I can think of. It's an MMO. Shooter. You plug in a keyboard and mouse, and it's a PC game that you play on a console.
Okay.
Yes, Final Fantasy XI was the same way.
Yeah.
That's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head, only because I played those games.
Right.
But there might be more.
So I'm not saying it's not possible. I mean, from what I think and feel Destiny to be, I personally would not want that. There's also too. Yeah. This there's a whole other argument about games and trade-in value and all that stuff that I think is like there's a layer in that you know sometimes comes into play. I don't know if that is in this situation.
Even in our conversations, I feel like this conversation is muddled. So how would they market it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely – on the marketing side, I think it's a detriment. Games that are subscription can tend to be – right? Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks of like World of Warcraft. And I don't think it would market well for a big first-person Bungie game, the creators of Halo and all that, like from Activision. I definitely think it would be confusing for the marketing. That side. But if there was an incentive, I was just saying, on the content side, then I wouldn't be against it was my only point. At this point, though, I don't see – that was what I was getting at. I don't really see how you can create an incentive, you know, because, just make an awesome game for $60 and do what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Like, what would be the incentive to be a subscriber?
Well, I mean, the crazy thing is the way they tier some of the things now for Xbox and PlayStation, it's obvious that they're able to do that. You know, to just, like, parse the game out into little pieces. Even, like, with the Mountain Dew, there was, like, XP codes.
Oh, Red Bull.
With, you know, Strike. So they're able to do that. That's what's frightening, I think, about, like, silver and money and all this stuff, is it feels like all those pieces of the puzzle are put into place to potentially do that. Would I want that overall? Personally, no.
Like, yeah, I don't think they want to do that, actually.
No, I mean, not they want to, but they're able to. So could it go in that direction? I mean, it could. And I think that's what's freaking people out a little bit. Most people, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're suggesting you only get Hawkmoon if you're a subscriber, I mean, like, right, meaning just the idea of how would you make this game free to play?
There's, like, we're making up stuff to be scared of now.
Yeah,
And, like, that's a little ridiculous.
No, but these are the conversations that would happen.
Yeah.
Right, but sure. I mean, I do think you need to address the one of the main reasons that it's a valid discussion. What about all these people that just want to give it a shot? And it's a huge barrier, right? And that could be a positive side to something like this, where you create a scenario. Yeah, maybe you figure out free to play that's somehow worth playing, and people try it out. They're like, I really like this. And then next thing you know, you have a million new users.
Well, I mean, a lot of games do that. Free to level 20. And then you pay monthly after that.
Yes, and like in a game like this, it just doesn't make sense right now. Now, for Destiny 2, who's to say? But I mean, there are potential incentives, but I couldn't even imagine a clean way to do it right now.
You finally go flawless in Trials of Osiris. You're walking to the chest. Then all of a sudden, an invisible barrier pops up and be like, $4.99 a month to continue.
Exactly.
Oh, and somebody else is dancing in the chest.
I would take that disc out of my console and smack it against a brick wall the first chance I got.
No,
be like, you're dead to me.
I don't think that's the intention. But they, right?
Oh, cool. Smash. Don't
think a lot of people would do that.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has that intention. No. But it's true. How do you get more people into the world? More people to play with, more people to matchmake with.
Not with the subscription model.
Well, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but there's a piece of it that does work, because when you figure out free to play, now you get a bunch of people in. But,
Destiny is free to play, though.
Well, no, it's not. I mean,
yeah, it is. You pay $60, and then you play it for free.
Yeah,
you're saying people.
Free after.
You're saying free to play model where people get the game on any platform.
Yeah, that's
for
what
nothing,
he was saying.
And then you pay.
Basically, he pretty much seemed to be saying that you get a level of the game that's still good and it's there, but it's actually just free. But you only get so many strikes or whatever. But if you really want to get access to all this other stuff, you got to be a subscriber, which is the real game. And yeah, I just think it's too confusing. I'm actually just trying to defend a bit. It's not like a horrible idea. It's been mentioned over the many years of Destiny.
I'm not saying his idea is horrible. I'm saying it would probably fracture the community, be very difficult for Bungie to market.
Yeah. Okay, but what if I told you get a raid every month if we've moved to subscription model?
It would probably
just as good of Wrath of the Machine.
It would probably be difficult for Bungie to market.
No, I'm telling you, you will get it. Will you be a subscriber? Or do
I get a raid.
$60 a year, I can't
do that. What is Destiny 2 is my first question. What does a raid look like with those design principles?
I'm just trying to give you a little gotcha. Like, meaning if the incentive's there, I don't think anybody's against
I don't necessarily want just a raid every month, though.
Here's the thing. I think some people are...
You heard it here first, folks. I do. Yeah. I absolutely would love that.
Yeah, but this is a conversation right now with DLC. It's the same kind of thing. People are like, wondering, oh, what are the events coming up here? Like, what? Well, is there a name for the winter event?
Winter
Sparrow
event.
Racing League.
Exactly.
Yeah. Snow in Tower.
Yeah. People are going, okay, well, it's just...
DDoS attack 2016.
Spend money on snow. Yeah, yeah. Basically, that's what people's concern is. It's like, well, if I'm spending this, what am I getting? Mm-hmm. Right? And so, yeah. Did I trigger your...
Sorry, I figured out what it's called. Yeah. Silver bells.
No.
Yeah.
Friend.
Yeah, there's some silver bells. And
you got to pay silver to
get
all
and you can buy a helmet that's
want.
A big bell for a lot of silver. All right. Sorry. But no.
Wow.
But you're right. There's a conversation of expectations for cost. And again, I would like also to say that, yeah, I would love a new raid. I'd love new things. But this is where, yeah, that's like the DLC. It's like, oh, there's going to be a bunch of things coming up. Well, what are those things?
Yeah.
And tell me what they are. So then I can decide if I want to invest in the money.
Like, I'm playing a lot of Mass Effect right now, and your question of, like, well, would you like a raid every month? That'd be like saying, do you want Jack's side quest for the rest of the life of Mass Effect 2, or do you want some variation? I want the variation. I don't just want one experience and one experience only, and that also only serves a small subset of players. So regardless of what I want what's best for the game and for the community, and that is not one new raid every month, and that's all you get.
No, but that's not what I was saying. That was just one of the things.
Yeah,
okay?
He's saying if you pay $10 every month, you got a new raid.
Meaning,
every month.
Was saying you get more if we adopt a new $9.99 a month subscription model, which would be crazy expensive.
I want to see how Bungie marketed it first before.
Yeah,
I'm totally not sold on anything.
It's not. I don't really. If I was a betting man, and I've been wrong before, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be a subscription game.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit into Bungie's model or Activision's models. There's no real need to as well. It seems like Destiny, despite all the troubles, was a profitable experience.
Yeah.
As painful as it may have been. And so it's a success. And so now their biggest goal is to get more players in, and I don't think the price is really the barrier. It's a game that everybody tells, all their friends to play and is somehow still, a Halo campaign type shooter at the core that expands into this bigger world with more to do and, You know, that's what they have to figure out. And, on, you know, that's what some of the rumors are about, right? They're talking about, right, maybe there's going to be, like, more outposts in the world and things to do in town.
Well, they're talking about scrapping it all and starting over.
That's the idea. New character. Totally, like,
I trust Luke Smith, but I do worry about that rumor, but because it's just – it's a rumor.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's on
– Scrapping players, you mean?
No, like, just they're like talking about totally revamping what Destiny is.
No Hunter, no Warlock, no anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't know where it begins and ends. But, yeah, they're talking about starting anew in some new world.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see as we get more marketing stuff.
It's risky, right? You have a very loyal fan base who likes what they like, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually have liked some of the improvements.
The gameplay is great.
Most of, like Destin just did a review on it on the Destin channel, and he talked a lot about this, where it was like, just here's the stuff I like. Just give me more of that.
Yeah.
Don't shortchange me, and I'll be pretty darn happy.
Mm-hmm.
The rumors about Destiny 2 are not necessarily that. It's like starting from scratch.
Yeah.
But you don't know that it doesn't retain most of the same mechanics.
A conversation about, you know, them saying your Guardian would persist all the way through the next how many years? Like 10 or something.
The thing that bothers me is both Deej and Jen told me that, your Guardian's going to come through. Yeah. And now we're hearing like, we changed our mind.
But it's just a rumor.
And it's like, what?
Yeah, we don't know.
That's a rumor.
But, I mean, it's a strong rumor.
But, I mean,
it could happen.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
All bets could be off. But
worried.
We're
I'm
excited,
sure it's going
to
be great. It's Bungie. I trust Bungie.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I trust Bungie. I trust Luke Smith at the helm.
Think of how convoluted Destiny was at the launch. But how
and if they let me down, they're dead to me.
That was
kidding.
But how awesome,
Loyalty runs really deep over here.
Yeah.
Like, the community's great. We love so much about the game. Like, they got a lot right. Like, it's not like all that's going to get thrown out the window, mm-hmm. no matter what they do. And Bungie has a very solid history. And the same people who made the game are making the game, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a scenario where it off to 343.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yes, they're supposedly working with Vicarious
Vision.
They
took
Moon Studios.
A lot of Bungie,
Yeah, but that is – at the core of it, it is still the main team. Yeah, you got Luke Smith, Mark Noseworthy. All those folks are there. Scott Taylor, a good friend of the show, still there. So,
More quests where I have to get void kills in the Crucible, please.
Yeah.
Except that's heavy sarcasm. Stop it.
Spin metal farming. Keep that.
Yeah, let's farm 9,000 spin metal to get a sword.
Yeah.
That was good design.
Can you please
patch
that?
Come on.
Please.
Why?
Please.
Did you get all your swords
yet? No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, really? You still don't
have
any
time. Well, I have a whole year to do it, guys. See, you're moving off the game. I've saved some things.
Right, because I know for sure you're going
to
do that.
You know those
next
people
week.
Who plow through their meal, you know, and they don't really save it? See, I got things to save.
Go get 10 spin metal or something. Why do I have to?
Seriously, though.
It's
that would
terrible.
Be,
it
know,
is absolutely terrible.
We're getting off Destiny 2 now, but there are things in the current game that just like, throw in the towel, patch it up. I know you don't have a ton of resources, but you can give us a little bit, like fix some stuff like that.
It's like, what were you thinking?
Because then there's still some people who might want to play the game, right, and come in. They don't have to suffer through the Thorn Quest or the Sword Quest. And think about that, though. There are people. No, it's legitimate, right?
No, I know, but.
Give us clear objectives to unlock things, not, hey, go collect spin metal until randomly you get the drop that you need to continue the quest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adding randomness to something that you need to do it wasn't a smart decision for the swords specifically I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
Same thing like with the bounties. I turned in like 50 bounties before I got the thorn.
Or heck, just put crazy. The or maybe just roll the swords into the drops at this point, you know? Like, I don't know. I like some of the questing parts of it, but
some of them are great. Galahorn, you know, Kabasta.
No, I mean, parts of the sword quests are fun, but not overall, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just wondering when you're going to get the sword now.
He won't.
I just
Do you have Dark
I have the arc. I have the arc, but other than that,
do you have Dark Trinket?
No, that's what I'm working on getting. Yeah, I was about to blow my brains out. I was like, this is why I didn't do it in the first place. Yeah. And I was like, I already
that's the worst one.
I'm 400. I already beat the raid, and like the reason I never got it before is because like I didn't need it.
Yeah.
I didn't need it. I still don't actually need it.
No,
it's a cool item, and it's a kick-ass sword, but like I don't need it.
Instead
so
of
why would I seriously all the hours? Why would I do that,
dude? Friend, instead of patching the quest, they will literally nerf every sword in the game because that seems smart.
And
instead of fixing
too,
the one quest problem, they will just change
they'll
the entire meta of swords in their whole product.
Maybe
logic.
Swords are cool.
Maybe you could ask Deej to just drop one off in your postmaster for Christmas.
That's
there.
What I want for Christmas.
Winter
two swords.
Just
give me all three swords. That's it. Like, if I don't have them all, I've been playing the game. You just go into your vault and or your postmaster.
What if you just didn't have to do the collect relic iron? You know what I did? I just put on music and I looked for.
It
I would
did not make it better, dude.
I would just zone and just listen to music. And
dude, I was counting. Dude, I'm like speeding up every. I'm like hopping on my sparrow and counting my jumps and going in circles in that one, you know, area for the relic iron, the bunkers. Oh, dude. Anyway, it was nightmarish flashbacks to the first year of Destiny. So yeah, no, I mean, legit. I get a lot of people out there probably thinking, "Oh, well, you're so lazy. You haven't done that yet. What a noob. You haven't done it." But like, no, it's not fun. I say this a lot. I'm not gonna do anything that I feel like is a waste of time. You know what I do like playing? I like playing Banner. I like playing Trials, and I'm grinding those out. But I'm enjoying myself. That's where
there's clear like, things. Yeah, if I was working, you need to do to get the rewards. Yeah.
Like if I was working towards my sword when I was playing Banner somehow, like just win. Like who knows? Mm-hmm. Great, awesome. Because now I'm enjoying myself and this thing's working for me.
Yeah.
But I don't want these weird special quests like that are just really nonsensical. Don't do that in Destiny 2 either. For the love of God, just use your brain.
Yeah.
No, seriously, right? Nobody there was like. Dude, that's holy crap! That's amazing,
dude. Paul, dude, your sword quest,
loved it.
Everybody loved your sword quest idea.
Exactly, but no, I mean, I know it sounds kind of cruel. And sorry for those that listen to Bungie, but
very passionate man over here.
Paul over at Bungie is crying right now. He's like, "I'm sorry."
And by the way, maybe even some of our friends over there designed it. The problem is, you try to make things vary. Yeah, ex-friends. No, you try to vary things out, and like, I get it, but just like, that's the thing I've always said. If it's not actually fun, just drop it. Do something that is the same as, similar to another quest, because honestly, as long as I'm having a little bit of fun, that's better than having none. So, there you go. Anyway. And scene. Destin's about to do another impression.
I'm thinking about poor Paul at Punchy. Just like, guys, I know what we can do for the swords. And they just put it in there, and he's like, that was a joke.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Already approved in the game.
What have I done?
Definitely not fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's no one out there that thought it was fun.
We should probably wrap up, guys. Sword Quest was not fun. That's the end of the show. Fran, we have a new store. And new shirts.
We do. Yeah. And, none of us are wearing it. Jeez. You've seen the Fireteam Chat shirts before, though. So it is shirt. Oh, sorry, what is it?
It's I don't know. Shopify.
You can actually go to store.ign.com. Sorry. Yeah. But it's actually shirtpunch.com/IGN also works. But yeah, I say that because our URL, I swear, has gone like back and forth from work.
It took scientists.
Yeah,
research experts.
Actually, no, Paul.
But we have a black Fireteam Chat shirt now.
Poor Paul.
But basically, yeah, there's a couple shirts you can check out on store.ign.com. You can go into Fireteam Chat, buy the shirts. They're cool. Yeah.
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 Would love to see everybody out there wearing them.
If you like the show,
I rock PSX, them perhaps.
I'll wear mine at PSX. I'll be at PSX. So
I'll wear mine on the next show.
I'll rock it.
They're actually in a box, is why. And I gotta
you guys are both going to be at PSX.
Yes.
I will not.
I don't know. Oh, CJ's going.
Yeah, I am going also. Yeah. So we'll get a chance to check out the new content.
Yeah, whatever it may be, if it's there.
Hopefully it is. Yeah. Last time I was like, hey, surprise, Sparrow Racing. Even that announcement last year was actually
I'm going to be talking to Paul at PSX. Personally. I'll buy you a drink, dude. Like, let's
got a new exotic sword quest for you, friend.
Yeah.
He's like, but man, I just really like collecting spin metal. Paul, nobody else likes doing that.
What about relic iron?
No, dude.
Yeah.
Actually, right. Paul, you need to buy me a drink. But aside from that,
we definitely have to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. No episode next week. We will be back December.
Well, it's right on the heels of PSX when you think about it, actually.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah. So we'll probably be back with news about whatever is happening.
Hopefully, yeah. That's the thing, though. PSX kicks off on the weekend. So we'll see if we get an announcement before that. That's right around December 3rd, by the way.
Yeah.
2nd and 3rd, I think. So we'll be back around then.
Yeah. Until then, the trials will be continuing. Who knows? Maybe we'll get surprised with some great other trials matches like First Light again.
Yeah. That was wonderful.
No.
Yeah, this week it's back to normal, thankfully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I got some time for some promotions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, do some plugs now that I'm back. Well, as always, everybody, make sure that you're if you're listening, drop us a review in iTunes or otherwise, right? Like give us some stars, whatever stars you want, and any comments, we're going to pay attention there. But if you're watching us on YouTube or IGN, be sure to leave a comment. Get in the comments. You know, I always say this, but our comments have actually improved a lot on our Fireteam Chat channel on YouTube because it's people who are just there for that. Mm-hmm. But certainly on IGN, you know, we still have some people asking these questions, like, why do you play Destiny? Well, tell them why. You know, support your community. I also did want to mention that we have taken a couple of our podcast shows out of our podcast room here, which you've
taken. Not this one.
Not this one, though. Yeah. One step at a time. Even though we run so much of the video stuff, we're staying in here. But yeah, we put Beyond in there. We put Unlocked in there. So head over to those YouTube channels. Check them out. YouTube.com/ it is IGN Beyond and IGN Unlocked are the two respective channels. Yep. But yeah, we upgraded some mics. And if you've been following those shows, they're great. So
definitely.
That's about it.
All right. Yeah. I think that's everything, though. So we're going to wrap it up now, friend. You ready?
I'm ready to go. We ready for the signature outro?
All right. So until next time, Guardians out. Nailed.
Nice. Give us a little time. Yes. Yeah. I knew it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.